talk about freedom today. Freedom from bondage. Two key scriptures. One is Luke chapter 4, the other is Galatians chapter 5. And then we'll expound on a variety of things as we go along. Freedom from bondage. In Luke chapter 4, verses 18 to 19, Jesus himself is speaking and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." In that short little scripture, two different times he talks about freedom. Freedom for prisoners and release for the oppressed. And then in Galatians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul picks up on this, and he says in verse 1, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." All right? Now, Jesus came to speak freedom. And you have to understand, in Jesus' time, things were pretty hard under Roman rule. Now, the Jews were free in a lot of ways. It wasn't like they were walking around in chains, so they had some freedom, but they were also limited because of the society in which they lived. Just some examples. During the cold winter months, a Roman soldier could come up to you, take your coat, and you couldn't do anything about it. Or if you're on your way to work, a Roman soldier could come up to you and tell you to carry his 45-pound pack for a mile, and you could not refuse him. The Roman tax rate was something like 60%. And that, of course, caused people to live in poverty and rack up large debts. And under Roman law, if you couldn't pay your debts, they could enslave you to pay it off through indentured servanthood. So Jesus came and proclaimed freedom to people who would certainly welcome that kind of a talk, don't you think? The conditions they were living in. And Jesus is still offering freedom today. Now, the world typically thinks of freedom as doing whatever you want, whenever you want, however you want. But as believers, we understand that true freedom means leaving the path of destruction and saying yes to Christ, which leads to peace and joy in all circumstances. We understand true freedom is in Christ. But even with that good understanding, sometimes we find ourselves stuck in forms of bondage. Right? Sometimes. So let's begin with this question. What is keeping you captive from living the life God calls you to and being the person God created you to be? What is it that is holding you back? What is it that is binding you up or keeping you stuck? Now, at its core, the most basic answer to the question is sin. Okay? That's the theological answer. We are all infected by sin, and it leads to bondage. No question about it. In John 8:34, it says, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." All right? Is there anybody in here who never sins? Okay, I'm looking to see if you're going to sin right now while I ask the question. Okay? Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. That's what Jesus said. You know, sin promises freedom, but in the end it brings bondage. It promises life, but in the end it brings death. And sin has a way of gradually binding a person until there's no way of escape. In fact, sin's kind of sneaky that way, that it doesn't just lock you up all at once. It's kind of little by little puts the shackles on you. And then at some point, there's no way to escape except by the grace of God. And thank God for the grace of God. Now, here's the truth. All of us have thoughts and desires inside of us that seem overwhelming at times. Okay? We do things that we pledge to never do. And we don't get around to doing things that we said we would do. Paul talks about that in Romans 7:14. The great apostle, this man of God, says, "I do not understand what I do." For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. I think that is pretty much the human condition for a lot of believers as well. We know the difference between right and wrong. Many know what the Bible says, and yet we still struggle doing the right thing. Now, this is more than just a spiritual concept. Sin can create bondage in reality in the here and now. Okay, think about telling lies. If you are a liar, you have to remember what lies you've told, and you have to remember who you told them to. And so it sort of locks you into a story that you have to keep on telling. That's a form of bondage. Okay? Other sins can lead to literal bondage, imprisonment, theft, murder, some forms of sexual sin, some forms of slander can actually lead you to prison and you'll be in bondage. Sin leads to bondage, but God wants us free. He wants us free from sin. However, there are some other things the Bible mentions from which we need to be free. Things like oppression, fear, the love of money. The Bible even talks about things that I think everybody struggles with. In Psalm 25, it talks about a troubled heart and a mind, a distress and anguish. Those things can kind of hold us in bondage, but God wants us to be free from that. Those things hold us in bondage because sometimes our minds get locked in on those troubling thoughts, and we're not free to think of other things, at least not very much, because that oppressive thought is just consuming your mind. Understand what I'm talking about? It's a form of bondage. 2 Peter 2:19 says, a man is slave to whatever has mastered him. In other words, if it controls you, you are its slave. Doesn't matter what it is. If it controls you, you are its slave. Thoughts, behaviors, appetites, desires, and so on. If they control you instead of you controlling them, then you're the slave to those things. Now let's just take a look at a few of them. Some can be in bondage to ritualistic practices, such as some of the Jewish worship customs. I think you have to do it the way they did in the Old Testament, things like that. And Paul spends nearly the entire book of Galatians speaking out against those kind of things. You don't have to get stuck in those ritualistic patterns. For others, it's simply a legalistic standard for yourself. Okay? As simple as this. If I don't read exactly 3 chapters of the Bible every day, I have failed. Now, the goal of reading 3 chapters of the Bible every day, that's a good one. Okay? But if it becomes a form of legalism where you are punishing yourself and beating yourself up on a day that you didn't get that many done, that's a form of bondage. It's legalism. And God doesn't want that sort of thing from you. He wants a relationship with you. He doesn't just want rituals and regulations from you. He wants relationship. Here's another one. Bad habits can be a form of bondage. Some cost a lot of money and keep you limited in giving to God's kingdom. Smoking, drinking, eating habits. Now, let's be clear, those aren't necessarily sin in and of themselves, but they can limit your freedom and be a form of bondage in your life. And then bad habits can become addictions, which most everybody understands. That's definitely a form of bondage if I'm addicted to something. Here's another one. Fear leads to bondage. It can literally paralyze your thought processes and your decision-making abilities. You get stuck in fear. Think about, have you ever seen any videos of fainting goats? It's hilarious. Yeah, fainting goats. Yeah, if they get startled, they fall over. They just freeze and fall over. It's hilarious. You got to look it up. Fainting goats. But sometimes we're almost like fainting goats. When some fear creeps into our life, we just freeze. And we get stuck in that fear rather than moving beyond that moment. And here's the truth. Some choose to stay in a miserable situation simply because the fear of the unknown is too much. So fear is bondage. It keeps us captive. And closely related to fear is the need for approval. That's fear of what others think. It's a form of bondage. Now, let me be clear. If you want to consider how decisions affect others, that's okay. That's one thing. But if you hold back on making the right decision because of what somebody else might think, then that's a form of bondage. I think a lot of people struggle with that. Oh, some classics. Holding grudges and unforgiveness are forms of bondage. They keep you trapped by replaying the hurt that someone else caused you. The truth is, you're giving them more power. You're giving them power over you without them necessarily even knowing it. They might not even know that they've hurt you, but you're replaying it over and over and over and again. And so then you are stuck. You're in bondage. You're hurting yourself more than you're hurting them. The past can be bondage. And typically we think of things like we just talked about, how someone or a certain situation was hurtful, and holding on to that past limits you in the present. But the past can also bind you up even when it was good. For instance, when you focus too much on the good old days, you may be limited in experiencing all that God has for you now. Now, if those good old days kind of inspire you for what's going on today, that's good. But if you're stuck just thinking about the good old days and how miserable everything else is now, that's a form of bondage. God doesn't want you to be in bondage. He wants you to be free. So what does Jesus want to liberate you from? Here's the truth. Most of us cause our own bondages. We generally put ourselves in bondage. And Seneca said, to be enslaved to oneself is the heaviest of all servitudes. We cause our own bondages primarily. But what does God want you to be free from? I want you to think about that for a moment. There's a little piece of paper on every chair. The ushers have extra pens if you need them. I want you to take a moment and write down something that perhaps you've been struggling with and you feel like it's holding you back. It's a form of bondage. It might be something that I said. I've already listed a variety of things. Or it might be something else, because I didn't cover every form. But is there something that you feel like it's kind of got a hold on your life and it's holding you back from God's best? I want you to take a moment, write that down. And it can be more than one thing. And we're going to use those a little bit later. But I want you to take a moment right now. What is it? Have you been holding a grudge? Are you living in fear? Are you legalistic? What is it? Is it the need for approval? Write it down. Talked a little bit about what has you in bondage. You're writing some of those things down now. And we've touched on who is keeping you captive. And as I said, we're really our own worst enemy, and we tend to put ourselves in bondage. But there's another enemy that wants us to be stuck in bondage. It's not the person who caused you pain. It's not the circumstances of your past. The real enemy is the evil one. And Paul puts it this way in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There really is an enemy, a spiritual enemy, that wants to hold us down. And we're fighting an enemy whose sole purpose is to kill and destroy everything, especially that which belongs to God. So if you're a follower of Jesus, you belong to God. The enemy really has you in his sights. He wants to destroy you. There's a dark power all around us, and it's seeking to destroy, divide, and conquer. And so to really be free begins with an understanding of our true enemy and captor. Okay? All those other things I listed before, they're kind of, you know, there's some things in life that cause those things, but the enemy wants to fuel the fire. Okay? In John 8, 31 and 32, it says, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So this is a fundamental thing. When we understand that there is a real enemy, that's the truth. And he wants to keep you in bondage. That's the truth. And so when you know the truth, you're on the road to freedom. It's not really your past that holds you in bondage. It's not really fear that's holding you in bondage. It's the enemy that wants to hold you in bondage. We need to know the truth because the truth sets us free. Sin keeps us in bondage. There is a real spiritual enemy that's working to destroy us. But Jesus' mission is to set us free from all of that. Colossians 1:13 says, he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Yeah, that's good news. And Colossians 2:15 tells us that he disarmed the powers and authorities by the cross. He won. Now, those spiritual forces that we still struggle with, they may be strong, and sometimes they feel overwhelming. I get it. But the truth is that Jesus has already defeated them, and he has provided for freedom. That's the truth. And the truth will set you free. John 8:36 says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. We're talking about real freedom here, folks. Freedom comes through Jesus and being born into God's kingdom. Jesus came to open the eyes of people, not only to see evil for what it is, but to see the kingdom of God and the true freedom that it offers. Now, Jesus did not try to defeat evil with evil or by having a stronger army. Actually, what Jesus did is he submitted himself to the cross, but then experienced victory 3 days later through the resurrection. Jesus won this victory by submitting to God's plan. And so we can be free by submitting to Christ's lordship. When we submit to him, then we can be free. In the temptation in the wilderness, the devil took Jesus up and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he tried unsuccessfully to tempt Jesus with what he had to offer. Now we also are tempted with those very same things. And when we focus on their values, the worldly values, then we live in darkness. But when we realize that Christ has overcome the enemy and we submit to his lordship, then we're in the light and the devil has no influence in our lives. He has no authority in our life. When And Jesus made his statement in Luke chapter 4 about he's come to set the prisoners free and release the oppressed. He's actually quoting from Isaiah chapter 61. And if you go back there, you'll see that it goes on to say, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. God wants us free to experience gladness and praise rather than the despair of bondage. I mean, if you've ever felt like you're trapped in fear or whatever it is, it's despair. Remember the old hee-haw song? Blue, despair, and agony on me. And you know, that's a funny old song. But the truth is, when we are stuck in bondage, we feel that. Like we can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. We're stuck. It's miserable. But the Lord doesn't want us to stay there. He wants us to experience gladness and praise. And he wants to put a crown of life on us instead of death. And when you put on a crown, you're a member of the royal family. We talked about this recently, who we really are. As believers, we're part of the royal family. Remember when Kate Middleton's pregnancy had such media coverage? I mean, it was everywhere, and people lined up for days outside the hospital to see what was going on and what the baby would be and all that. Why was that such a big deal? Well, because he's heir to the throne. Someday he could be on the throne, this little baby. But here's the thing. The crown in Britain and royalty is only ceremonial. There's no power to it whatsoever. But you've received the crown of righteousness. You've been anointed with authority, and you've joined the mission against evil. There is power in the crown that you get to wear. And you're not just a recipient of the freedom that the Lord gives, but you are now a sharer of that freedom to others on behalf of Christ. That's who we are. So when evil rears its ugly head and that which binds seeks to hold us captive, we need to remember that we serve a powerful God who is over all those things, and we do not have to be in bondage. Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. If the Son has set you free, you are free. So stand firm. I don't have to be in bondage. I'm free. Now, let me make this even more practical today. Here are some things that you can put into practice right away that will begin leading towards freedom. These are all scripture-based. Romans 6:22. Now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. Okay, so we've already talked about you need to realize that the work is already done, and then it talks about being slaves to God. So give yourself fully to God. And when you give yourself fully to God, those other things won't be able to keep you in bondage. Okay, that one's really not that complicated, and yet it seems hard for people to do. Give yourself fully to God. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So you need to enter into God's presence. You need to walk in the Spirit. That's where the freedom is. Okay? It's like, here's the river of freedom, right here. So I'm going to stand over here and wish I could be free. No, you jump in. Get free. Psalm 118, 5 through 7. In my anguish, I cried to the Lord. That's prayer. I cried to the Lord, and he answered by setting me free. And then he goes on and says, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. But he started with prayer. If you're struggling with one of these areas, that thing you wrote on the paper, you need to pray about that. Because the Lord can set you free. Isaiah 58:6, is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. That whole thing is about freedom. But it's with fasting. Sometimes you need to do some fasting. Yeah, perhaps you need to fast the thing that you're struggling with. That just seems like common sense to me. Know what I'm saying? Sometimes you should. Okay, fasting. Are you ready? You might need to fast the thing that you've been struggling with. Okay? I didn't bring it today, but there's a fantastic skit with Bob Newhart. And he's a psychiatrist. And a woman comes in with this irrational fear. And she says she's afraid that somebody's going to capture her and put her in a box and bury her underground. Okay, and you know Bob Newhart, he's always kind of nervous, and he says, no. Okay, this will only take a minute, and it's only $5, but I can help you with that problem. He says, now most people don't understand, but I can help you with that problem. She says, okay, he says, are you ready? Here it is. Stop it. And then she tries to come back with, but. He says, no. That's it. Stop it. And this conversation goes on for a while, just like that, back and forth. And his answer is, stop it. And then finally, in the end, he says, if you don't stop it, I'll put you in a box and bury you underground. Yeah, look it up. It's hilarious. But the bottom line is, sometimes we cause our own bondages, and we need to just stop doing the thing that's causing our bondage. Okay? And I think in cases like that, I'm not sure you even need to cry out to God. You just need to stop it. Okay? Now, you can ask God for his help to stop, but don't ask him to deliver you from something that you can deliver yourself from. Just stop it. Fasting, but then there's fasting too. If, you know, sometimes there are things that you don't have that much control over and you just need a breakthrough. I think there's a place to fast. You can fast from food. You can fast from activities that are consuming your time, and instead give yourself fully to God. Focus on him. Pray and fast. Okay, Proverbs 11:21. Be sure of this, the wicked will not go unpunished, but those who are righteous will go free. If you live a righteous, godly life, there's freedom simply in that. Okay? You don't have to worry about going to jail if you don't ever break any laws. Okay? It's same in the spiritual realm. Be a righteous, godly person, and you won't have to live in bondage. Ah, I know I'm so profound this morning. It's not that hard. Contrast with what I talked about earlier about liars. When you lie, you kind of build yourself into a corner and you're trapped. You have to keep telling the lies. Well, just stop lying. Tell the truth. Be righteous. Do the right thing. There's freedom in that. You don't have to worry that somebody's going to catch you. Okay? All right. Proverbs 16, the whole chapter you could read, it warns about the bondage that comes into the lives of people who enter into willful rebellion or pride, arrogance, strife, malicious troublemaking. All that stuff will put you in bondage. But it also describes the liberty and the satisfaction that come when you practice humility and trust and careful conversation and self-control. Okay? Some of these are very closely related. If you have some tendencies in your life that get you into trouble and then hold you in bondage, you need to exercise some self-control back here before you get into all those other things that now you're in bondage. Exercise self-control. Some humility prompts all that to happen, okay? Here's another one, Philippians 3, 13 and 14. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Here it is. Put the past in the past and focus on the future. Simple. Do it. Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Okay? There it is again. Stop it. Okay? Do not indulge the sinful nature, so stop it. But then it goes on and says, serve one another in love. There is great freedom in that. That can help you overcome the poor me attitude that keeps you in bondage. Just do something for somebody else. Jesus himself said it's better to give than to receive. So serve. Do something for somebody else. That sets you free. Then Hebrews 13:15. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So there's the idea, be content. And then I would add, in that context, I believe, be grateful is part of that. To really be content with what you have, you be grateful for what you have. And a gratitude can set you free from discontent and self-pity. See, when you're ungrateful, you tend to slide quickly into self-pity. And then that is a form of bondage. Oh, woe is me. But when you are grateful and you begin, and we just did this. We started to, was that just last week or was it the week before where we just talked about things we're thankful for? And before the service ended up, I think everybody was kind of laughing and cheerful and their eyes lit up. And gratitude does that. So be grateful. Let's do it again. What are you thankful for? Running water, yes. A place to live. Family, friends. Thanks. Electricity, I heard over here. A toilet. Okay. Cooking utensils. You see, it gets silly right away, and yet we're thankful. I mean, if you really break it down, yes. That's more spiritual and serious, but we're thankful for Jesus, right? There's always something to be thankful for, and that liberates you when you are grateful. It sets you free. So, do you want to be free? You can be through Jesus Christ. You can be free. Now we're going to close going to be a song playing. You can sing along if you want, but what I want you to do, if you will, is bring your papers and drop them in the bucket. We're going to set it to fire later. But I want, let's put those things that have kept us in bondage in the bucket as a symbol of our faith that the Lord can set us free. Yeah, go ahead and play the video. And then feel free to linger up here a bit and just pray and seek the Lord for deliverance of whatever that bondage may be. Can be set free. God, we thank you for the freedom that we have through Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for the power to be set free in the here and now. Lord, we understand we do not have to live in bondage. Lord, help us to walk and live as free men and women of God, giving ourselves fully to you, saying no to unrighteousness. Putting the past in the past, focusing on the future, surrendering our lives completely to you because you are the river of freedom. So we come into your presence. We welcome you in our lives. We ask for your complete freedom in us. Lord, those things that perhaps the devil has gotten a foothold and we really are struggling to be free, Lord, I pray that you would empower your people to be free and that you would bring deliverance to those who are stuck and it's sort of out of their control. Deliver them in the name of Jesus. Set us free, Lord God. Lord, I pray that this would be a moment that we all remember as that's when the breakthrough came. Because we gave it to Jesus. And he set us free. Thank you, Lord. And now, Lord, we ask for your strength, your mercy, your grace, that we would go from this place and continue to walk in freedom through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. We pray all this. Welcome to stay and seek the Lord for as long as you want. Here's what I'm going to do. I have 11:24. At 11:30, I'm going to go out here on the east sidewalk and we're going to burn this. So if you'd like to participate, meet us out there. Otherwise, you're free to go. You can fellowship, all of that. Have a great week. See you next time.